भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 15, text 19. Yo mameva asammurho janati purushottamam sasarva vidbhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata yo mam evam sammurho janati purushottamam sasarva vidbhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. Translation: whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. Purport: there are many philosophical speculations about the constitutional position of the living entities and the Supreme Absolute Truth. Now, in this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead clearly explains that anyone who knows Lord Krishna to be the Supreme Person is actually the knower of everything. The imperfect knower goes on simply speculating about the Absolute Truth, but the perfect knower, without wasting his valuable time, engages directly in Krishna consciousness, the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. Throughout the whole of Bhagavad Gita, this fact is being stressed at every step. And still there are so many stubborn commentators on Bhagavad Gita who consider the Supreme Absolute Truth and the living entity to be one and the same. Vedic knowledge is called Shruti, learning by oral reception. One should actually receive the Vedic message from authorities like Krishna and his representatives. Here, Krishna distinguishes everything very nicely, and one should hear from this source. Simply to hear like the hogs is not sufficient. One must be able to understand from the authorities. It is not that one should simply speculate academically. One should submissively hear from Bhagavad Gita that these living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who is able to understand this, according to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, knows the purpose of the Vedas. No one else knows the purpose of the Vedas. The word bhajati is very significant. In many places, the word bhajati is expressed in relationship with the service of the Supreme Lord. If a person is engaged in full Krishna consciousness in the devotional service of the Lord, it is to be understood that he has understood all the Vedic knowledge. In the Vaishnava Parampara, it is said that if one is engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, then there is no need for any other spiritual process for understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth. He has already come to the point because he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He has ended all preliminary processes of understanding. But if anyone, after speculating for hundreds and thousands of lives, does not come to the point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that one has to surrender there all his speculation for so many years and lives, is a useless waste of time. And it says, surrender unto me. That's the message. Actually, it's the name of another book, which if you click on that, it'll take you to a link. But anyway, you don't have to do that. All right, it is done. So you want to know everything? Students don't have to study anymore. Instead of going to the four-year course, you can just say, yes, I accept Krishna. As all in all, I don't doubt. And then you don't have, then you can just write all the, you can be get a PhD in every subject. Because you know everything. How about that? Well, the Mayavadis probably take this to mean that you can know everything, but, well, Krishna himself says that. But it is to be understood in context, which Srila Prabhupada gives in the first line of the purport. There are many, Srila Prabhupada writes, there are many philosophical speculations about the constitutional position of the living entities and the Supreme Absolute Truth. So it means to know everything about that. If one knows the constitutional position of the living entities and the Supreme Absolute Truth, he understands that the living entities are jiva, they are eternally infinitesimal parts and parcels of the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is infinite. So the Supreme Absolute Truth is infinite and his knowledge is infinite. And the living entities are jivas and their knowledge is constitutionally, because the jiva is constitutionally infinitesimal. So constitutionally the knowledge of the living entities remains infinitesimal, but they can know everything inasmuch as they know the constitutional position of the living entities and the Supreme Absolute Truth. So in that sense, they know everything that they need to know. Everything that we know in this material world is all on the basis of ignorance. Ignorance means lack of knowledge. There are words in Sanskrit, avidya, agyana. But it's not only absence of knowledge that we conduct our lives in this world according to. It's not only a lack of knowledge, but the problem is that we think we know. Ahankari mattohaya nittai padda pasharya ashottere shatta karimani. One who is due to ahankar, generally translated as egoism, who is insane because of that, forgets nityananda and therefore takes that which is untrue to be true. So it's not that we're only lacking in knowledge, but this word avidya means not only a lack of knowledge, but to accept that which is not true to be true. And in this way we conduct our existence in this material world. Actually, we hardly conduct it. That's the meaning of ahankar. And thinking that I am... Ahankar means what makes I. So what makes me, or what makes I, is in false ego, is the identification with all things which are not me. This body, deha patikala ta'adishu, atma sainyeshva satsvapi, tesham pramata nidhanam, pasyanapi na pasyati. One takes one's body, the products of the body, namely children, wife, and so on, adishu. We take them to be the intimately connected with us, our protectors, even though they are quite fallible. And in this way, we don't see, although we see. We see that they are dying, and we should conclude that we will also die, but we don't see because we are busy with ahankar, making an identification for ourselves based on, ultimately based on forgetfulness of Krishna, envy of Krishna, But when we know that we are eternal part and parcel of Krishna, then we become liberated from this ignorance, and we know everything that we have to know about our relationship with Krishna. We don't need to know how many windows are in that college over the road. Is it a college or a school? Or what do they call it?
It's a school.
It's a school, okay. Although a college is a kind of school, but anyway, it's officially designated. In America, they call what we in England call colleges, they call them schools, anyway. So there's no need to know. You could probably go and count them all, and then you would know. But there wouldn't be much benefit in knowing unless you are, for instance, a window cleaner assigned to clean all the windows and want to make a contract for doing so. But otherwise, for almost every person in the world, there's no use to knowing how many windows are in that school building. And in fact, to amass such kinds of knowledge is another kind of ignorance. The more you amass, the more ignorant you become. We could say that in some ways, Einstein was one of the most ignorant people ever because he amassed so much information or theories about the nature of matter. Rasaraj Prabhu, our eminent scientist of Bhaktivedanta Institute, proposes, or at least he said to me, and I'm sure he said to others, that Einstein was not God realized, but he was matter realized. He had many insights into the nature of matter. But he didn't have the most important understanding, which is that maya dhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. That all this material nature is operating under the supervision of Krishna, moving, non-moving. That's an interesting one for Einstein, and well, relative. More for the quantum theory. Is it moving or not moving? Is it a particle or is it a wave? Well, you tell me. That's quantum theory, in a nutshell. Aha, I don't know. But it depends on the observer. If the observer thinks it's a particle, it's a particle. If the observer thinks it's a wave, it's a wave. How can it be? Well, ask Einstein. Or don't ask him, ask Niels Bohr, who's already somewhere else, in a different body somewhere. So, everything is going on under the supervision of Krishna. This is spiritual knowledge, by which one can understand. Then one sees everything in focus. One sees a little worm and understands this is ultimately a spiritual being who is trapped in that body by the ahankar of thinking, I am a worm. Of course, in the worm species, he doesn't sit down and make a philosophy about it. He doesn't think, I am a worm, as someone in the human life may think, I am a human. Someone may speculate on what it means to be human. There's we've often seen for the last few years on t-shirts and all kinds of things, there's a slogan, being human. What's all that about? Anyone know? What's the origin? Is it from some movie or you've seen that? Being human. You must have all seen that.
Actor Salman Khan has introduced it.
I doubt it. It probably comes from the West because it's very big. He may have introduced it to India.
In India, yeah.
Did he make a TV series about that or what? Yeah. Being human. I suppose from his perspective that means not being Muslim, not being Hindu. We're all humans. Is it? Something like that? Maybe Bollywood, non-sectarianism.
Sounds like it. Just being human, not
being
sectarian.
Yeah, being human and... I suppose, I don't know, I thought one of you might know. Okay, look it up on the internet. Yeah?
Actually, he ran over some people.
Oh, Salman Khan. He ran over some people. Is he in prison?
Yeah, so avoid that one. He's trying to cover up with this.
Is it? I see. Was he put in prison eventually?
No.
No. Yeah. Hollywood actors don't go to... Bollywood actors don't go to prison. They can do any damn thing they like. They're more than human. They're superhuman. They're the gods of modern India. So being human, the idea, another aspect of that is the idea, well, we should all be nice to each other and this and that. But still, being nice to each other without knowing Krishna means we very nicely pass on to another body to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. And we might even come to a nice species of life, such as? Well, I suppose a deer is more nice than a tiger, although probably it's more practical to be a tiger than a deer, because the tiger eats the deer, not round the other way. But then the deer eats the grass. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Being human. Being human means nayam deho deha vanayam deho deha bhajan riloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudhed yasmat brahma sokyam tvanantam. Having attained the human form of life, one should not indulge in sense gratification as do the stool eaters, namely the hogs and the dogs and the deer and the tigers and the humans who are not Krishna conscious and so on. But rather one should engage in divine austerities for the sake of attaining unlimited spiritual bliss. So that's the real meaning of being human. Otherwise one is a dvipadda pashu, two-legged animal. One may think that one can learn and become very learned, and one may be, in some sense, a brilliant scholar, a genuine PhD. Dr. Frog, what's that song? Dr. Frog was a brilliant scholar, a genuine PhD. This is from the Change of Heart album by Mangalananda Prabhu, which was played to Prabhupada. He made this song about Dr. Frog. Prabhupada proved it. Dr. Frog was a brilliant scholar, a genuine PhD, but he didn't know that he's a servant of Krishna. So this is what we need to know. We don't need to know so many things. When we know that we're in turn servant of Krishna, then we understand sambandha jnana, our relationship with the Supreme. The relationship is that we are servant. We are not a servant of Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord. Then we have to act on that knowledge, abhideya. Have to act in Krishna consciousness, and as a result we attain prayojan. The result of sambandha jnana means to know that, to be conscious of Krishna and our relationship with him. Abhideya means to act in that relationship, and prayojan also means to act in that relationship. And why are there two words? Then abhideya means to act in that relationship in a training stage, and prayojan means to come to the perfection of that stage. So one becomes the knower of everything. He doesn't know in exactly the way that, it's very different to the way that Krishna knows, in as much as he sees everything, past, present, future, from the inside, from the outside, from up, from down. But the jiva knows what he needs to know, which is why. Why is there everything? Who are we? What are we doing? Who is God? All these questions he knows from the authoritative scriptures. But still, some things may remain. Even in this field, it may remain unknown. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, the perspective that he gives on reality, by which we can understand reality, is called achinta bheda bheda tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. Bheda bhed means difference and non-difference. Bheda bhed is not so difficult in many cases to understand, just like we can say the wave is the ocean, but it's also not the ocean. It's the ocean in as much as if you touch a wave, you could say, I'm touching the Pacific Ocean. It's not untrue. But still, the wave is not the totality of the Pacific Ocean. We could say that the sun is in the room. That's said in English. The sun is in the room. Especially if a direct shaft of sunlight comes through a window, then we say the sun is in the room. But we understand that it's not the whole sun-planet is in the room. Neither is it possible that the sun-planet, as Prabhupada used to say, sun-planet. No one else says that. The sun is in the room, because neither would it fit in the room, nor would it come close to the room before the room becomes completely vaporized, everything. So it's Bheda Bheda is not so difficult to understand, but Achinta. Some things will remain inconceivable. That's specifically applied to the pastimes of Krishna. How Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but he becomes under the control of the pure devotees. His pastimes, especially his Vrindavan pastimes, are inconceivable. One important point of understanding everything is to understand that we're never going to understand everything. There's one point which from about the early 1980s some devotees have been very concerned with, and it goes on. The discussion goes on and probably will go on. Did we fall from the spiritual world? Yes. No. Yes, no, and so many arguments go on and probably will go on. Srila Prabhupada also warned us, as have Ramanuja and even previous acharyas, don't worry about this too much because it's more important to get out from here. Oh, even previous, yeah, even the in Buddhism that's also said, yeah, which predating Ramanuja said, don't worry about how we got here. Just try to get out. Now we may think, well, it is important to know how we got here because then you can learn how to get out. If we know the cause, we may want to undo the cause. But the basic cause is given. Krishna bhuli, Krishna bahimokhoya, forgetting Krishna, becoming inimical to Krishna. Then another question may come. Well, how come there are so many living beings? They all forgot Krishna? Or if you take it that we fell from the spiritual world, how could so many reject Krishna? Or if you take it that we're just here, well, how so many? We're just here from time immemorial. If we want to come to the platform of anthropocentric, that means man-centered, human reason, then it doesn't seem to make sense that even one jiva in the spiritual world, what to speak of unlimited, would forget Krishna. But it also doesn't seem to make any sense if you take another position that we're just here from time immemorial. Millions, billions, trillions, zillions, ananta jivagan, eta brahmanda bhari, ananta jivagan. They're unlimited living beings. And why did Krishna put us in this circumstance? So you may say, well, it's just like that. Krishna didn't put us, we're just there. But everything is working under Krishna's supervision and by his will. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchate. the happiness and distress that a living being experiences. The cause of that is himself. So this is something which we may never understand, and part of understanding is to understand that some things we may never understand. How could so many beings turn their back on Krishna? Well, it's really just the same as saying, even how could one living being? Because if one can, then unlimited can. And the answer is misuse of our marginal independence. That's the answer. If we have the independence to forget Krishna, it wouldn't really be independence if we couldn't really do it. Just like someone, this is a pretty mundane analogy, but someone brought my attention recently to a short video clip of the new Prime Ministeress or Prime Minister of the United Kingdom being asked in the House of Commons, would you press the button for the nuclear missiles which would kill 100,000 innocent people? And her immediate answer was, yes. She said, there's no use in having a nuclear deterrent if you're not prepared to use it. And she got some some approving hums there. So there's no, in the same way, there's no meaning to our having limited independence or any kind of independence if there's no instance of anyone using it. Which presupposes that some will misuse it. And even many may misuse it. Of course, we hear from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, even though from our perspective, it may seem to be a huge number of living beings in the universe, from Krishna's point of view, it's just insignificant. Numerically, every jiva is to Krishna significant, but numerically, it's even one universe is just like, as described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is like one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. If you have a bag of mustard seeds, big sack of mustard seeds, and one falls out, no one notices, no one cares, no one bothers to pick it up. It might grow into a mustard plant, but it's just so small compared to the huge number in. How many mustard seeds? If you have a big sack of mustard seeds, how many would that be? Difficult even to calculate. Maybe, must be more than a million, I would think, even in one sack. Just a sack that a strong man could pick up. Say 40.
A billion, I would say.
It's
so small.
Yeah, billion?
Maybe.
That's a British billion. How much is a British billion? 100 million, I think.
No, it's a thousand million.
No, I think the British billion used to be a million million, and the American one is 1,000 million. Anyway, whatever, it's a lot. Maybe they agreed and made it the same, because it would be confusing in the modern world where.
I think the American one's the bigger one.
Is it?
Yeah. British one's the.
No. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many billionaires. It must be 1,000 million. They must have standardized it now. So to us it seems like a huge number. To Krishna, well, he goes and delivers whole universes. That description of the universe being like a mustard seed comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Vasudev Datta, devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was feeling great compassion. There's so many jivas in the universe. Let me, he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me take on all their sufferings eternally so they may all be liberated. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yeah, just by your desire they can all be liberated. You're a Vaishnava. So, and all the jivas in the universe at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were delivered. So what are we doing here? Where did all these plants and trees? Well, they got filled up again. There are plenty more jivas waiting to come. So one Vaishnava can deliver the whole universe. Brahmanda tarite shakti dhare jane jane. The devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, any one of them is powerful enough to deliver the whole universe. So we're talking about huge numbers of jivas. How is it possible? It's not possible for us to imagine how many jivas there are even in Manchester. If you take all the human population, maybe about, if you take Greater Manchester, must be 1.5 million, 3 million, so much, huh? But then there are so many, even in the human body, there are so many living beings. How to understand this? Well, how to understand not only the numbers, but how so many have either turned away from Krishna or are from time immemorial, forgetful of Krishna, with no particular opportunity to know him. That's achintya, inconceivable. Some things we may not know. We go to the guru for knowledge, but one of the things he may inform us is that, well, I don't know everything, and you don't know, you're not going to know everything. And you say, well, it says right here in Bhagavad Gita, then you know everything. Yeah, but just understand that in context. We're not going to become God. Even for Krishna, some things are inconceivable. And then you say, well, what's the meaning of him being God? Well, his own beauty is inconceivable, and more so the beauty of Radha. His own greatness is so great that even he can't fully comprehend it. He becomes ananta to glorify himself, but he can't come to the end of it. So this is inconceivable, how God himself cannot fully comprehend his own glories. We ourselves, we can't comprehend our own foolishness. How could we be so foolish as to forget Krishna? Even when we're informed, we remain attached to... Even when we're informed about our relationship with Krishna, we remain attached to putra dara griha deshu. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one item of knowledge is to be non-attached to sons, wife, home and the rest, but we remain attached. So these, some things there, just inconceivable. Achintya khalu ye bhava na tang star kena yoji ad prakrite bhya parang yajta tad achintyasya lakshanam. Mahabharat states that some things by nature are inconceivable, and there's no use to discuss them and try to understand them, because they're always going to remain inconceivable. That's their nature. That's the way it is. There are things greater than our minds and our intelligence. If we think that our mind and our intelligence is superior to everything, then we think we can understand everything. But if we understand there are some things which are superior to our mind and intelligence, avang manasa gochara, beyond description, beyond comprehension, then we just accept some things are going to be like that. It's just the way it is. Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam. It's Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge. But spiritual knowledge, again, part of that spiritual knowledge is to know that we can't know everything. So So the guru is one who gives knowledge by which we come out of ignorance. Agyanatimirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. The guru is one who brings us out of the ignorance of considering ourselves to be an enjoyer of this material world, or more specifically, the ignorance not recognizing that we are eternal servants of Krishna. As eternal servants of Krishna, we're simply meant to serve Krishna. It's not that the jiva's nature is satchit ananda, which Srila Prabhupada often translated as eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But full of knowledge, again, doesn't mean that we know everything, or even that we can understand everything. That's one reason why philosophy never comes to a conclusion in the West, either in the Western world or the Eastern world or whatever. They talk about Western philosophy, Eastern philosophy. But simply by philosophical endeavors, one can't come to the truth. It seems like one can do. It seems, well, if you sit down and think about it and try to work it out, cognito ergo sum. Yes, I'm cognizant, I think, therefore I exist. Okay, now we made it. We can say one thing with surety. I exist. Okay, build up from there. But you build up and build up and build up a whole big philosophy and write big books and become a big philosopher. And others come along after you and say, no, you got it wrong, point out faults in it. Even in the Vedic philosophy, accepting the Vedas, there are widely divergent interpretations of the message of the Vedas. The Mimamsakas say that, well, the Vedas tell us to perform yajna so we can enjoy in this life and the next life. That's what it says. That's the. But what about all these Upanishads, which tells us that material life is simply miserable, we should try to get liberated? That's just for those useless people. That's the real message of the Vedas, is to enjoy life. It's obvious. That's only at the end, when some people got frustrated. It's called Vedanta. They got frustrated, then they made the Upanishads. That's just for useless people. That's Mimamsaka, they think. Vedanta. Then you come to Vedanta. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of Brahman. What is Brahman? Janmadhyasa Yataha. That from which comes everything, that in which everything exists, that in which everything ends. Okay, all the Vedantists, they all agree on that. Yathaba imani bhutani jayante. Yena jatani jivante. Yat prayatyapi sang vishanti. That's Brahman. Tad vijigyasasva. Tad Brahma. So they all agree. That's Brahman. And then what is the nature of Brahman? Then there's big split. Personal, impersonal. Big split. So how to know? How to know? Then the conclusion is Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One should follow a great personality. But then the different people elect different Mahajanas. Our Mahajan is Hiranyakashipu. We think he's the greatest who ever lived. Ravana, Einstein. We should follow what they say. Or someone will say Jaimini. Someone will say Patanjali. There are different opinions. Who is a Mahajana? Ultimately, we accept Krishna. But by our own intelligence, we can't understand. Therefore, Brahmanda Brahmite Kuno Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Ultimately, it's good luck that we get the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and from them the seed of the creeper of devotional, pure devotional service. Good luck, what is it? Is God playing dice with the universe? No. One can receive that good luck if one has a good mentality. But again, it's only we who are saying that. Someone else will say something. These people, they're devotees. Let them be devotees of Krishna. It's good for them. maybe after many lifetimes of doing bhakti, they'll come to realize that actually they're also God. That's what the Mayavadis say. Bhakti, yes, bhakti is very good. You do bhakti. Yes, chant the names. Very good, very good. You do it. That's good for you. Yeah, encourage them. You know, they're like children. You have to encourage them. And we are more intelligent. We know that this bhakti, it's just for people on a lower level. And when you come to a higher level, you understand that. Soham, I am that. Shivoham, I am Shiva, I am God. They're convinced. How can you know? How can you know what is correct? Not simply by philosophizing. One has to have the good luck to get to the right point. Or some may say there is no coming to the right point, and others will say no point anyway, because when you die everything's finished. Masmi Bhutasya Dehe Hasya King Puna Agamana Ubhavet. The body gets burned, it's finished. So just enjoy yourself while you can. That's their philosophy. All kinds of different philosophies. Anyway, without getting bewildered by all this and thinking, oh, really? Oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, well, maybe Krishna consciousness isn't true. Maybe I should just go and enjoy myself. Wait a minute, we are enjoying, aren't we, chanting Hare Krishna? Ultimately, everyone seeks happiness. So people find it in different ways. Anyway, philosophy is required, but experience has to be there. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. Ultimately, one has to experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Someone say, well, we experience the bliss of impersonal Brahman. Yeah. If that's what you like. Very difficult to attain, and once attained, it's not very enlivening compared to the pastimes of Krishna or the service of Krishna. So Guru clarifies everything, including clarifying that one point is that we can't understand everything. And there's one, if you, the whole point of philosophy, of course Srila Prabhupada always presented Krishna consciousness in a very philosophical manner. But then he would also chant, he would also quote verses, says the Upanishads, that's the Jnana Kanda of the Vedas, the section giving knowledge. But that also, there also, Avang Manasa Gocha, the Supreme is beyond the scope of description or of our mental endeavors. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahurna shrutena. It's not possible to understand the self and God simply by discussions, simply by study, not even from the shastras or by our intelligence. When he reveals himself, when the truth reveals, tamayivasha vrinute tena labhyas, when he himself reveals himself, then we can understand. So there may be a misunderstanding that we can understand everything. Certainly Srila Prabhupada made everything very clear for us, and that was personally for me, and I'm sure for many, many others, it was a great relief to come to Srila Prabhupada and get everything clear. Isn't it, when you hear so many people speculating in some ways? And Umapati Swami, he made a very good point. He said he was into Buddhism. This is 1966, it must have been. And Buddhists say that, see if I can remember all this. You can't say it is, and you also can't say it isn't. And you can't say it both is and isn't, nor can you say that it is not, nor that it is not not. And he was thinking about this. And then he heard Prabhupada say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, whew, thank you. Then he became Prabhupada's disciple. Instead of trying to understand, or even in Buddhism, you're not even meant to understand it. The endeavor to understand it is also an obstacle. But Prabhupada came and said, oh, Krishna is this, oh, yes, yes. Wali, Bhakta Wali. No, yes, that makes sense, yes. So Prabhupada made it very clear. But one of the things to make clear is that some things will remain beyond the scope of our understanding. Very clear. We are not the body. The body is temporary. I am eternal. I'm going from body to body to body. I'm suffering in this material world. All this is very clear. I'm not the controller. I am controlled. There are higher powers. There are higher forces that control me. I don't choose to die. I didn't choose to be born in this body. I don't choose what the weather is going to be like today. I'm controlled, which means that there's a controller. That is God. God is all good. God is all love. God is Krishna. So all these things, very clear, very easy to understand, very straightforward. It's easy to understand unless we're rascals completely. So Prabhupada made it very clear. At the same time, part of making it clear is to make it clear that we can't understand everything. And the whole point of this class, I'm saying again and again, we can't understand everything. And Krishna says, we can't understand everything. That's the verse I chose to speak on today. We should understand what it means for the jiva to understand everything. It means to understand everything within his capacity and what he needs to understand and what is suitable for him to understand. Okay, the class is supposed to finish at 9. I'll finish now. And Hare Krishna, I'll continue. Plan to speak a bit more about that a little later. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you all for coming. Recently in America, I was given some cards to distribute about Bhakti Vikas Swami Radio. Some of you may be aware of this, others not. If you have access to FM radio, it's in the smartphone and iPhone, is it? FM radio? Yeah. So if you're not aware of it, you can take a little card and 24 hours a day broadcasting from Houston, United States, in English and Hindi. So if anyone like a card and like to listen to this or give it to someone else, you can take it. If you'd like to take a few to distribute to others, you can do so also. Undo that.